You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday, which we often refer to as Friday Eve around here. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, bro.
Hey, hey.
How you?
I'm good. Thursday.
Did little man have a baseball game last night?
No, they would have made today better.
He had one earlier this week, though, right?
He did. He had one on Tuesday, and he rocked it, and we're just waiting for next Tuesday's the next game.
So no kidding, he's a star of the team.
Yeah, you know, he's pretty much a star.
Come on.
I don't know what stars are in a five-year-old baseball, but
he is.
He does a good job.
He's setting the standard.
That's right.
I've seen him run, though.
Dude, he's fast. I will say he is very fast.
Like, if he grabs a Twinkie in the kitchen, you can't catch him. He's going
to
be down the hall.
Mr. Twinkie will not catch up to him.
All right, you guys, we got a great show laid on for you. Plenty of stuff. 3 o'clock today, Scott Stantis. Scott's a friend of mine. We've done some work together. Scott Stantis, such an interesting career. He is he's a bona fide syndicated political cartoonist who has got stuff published in like hundreds of newspapers, even been up for a Pulitzer before, I believe. But anyway, Scott Stantis is going to be on because, yeah, aside from the fact that he lives back here in Alabama now, he's spent a lot of years in Chicago and working for the Chicago Tribune, and Chicago's election was a mess. So we're going to talk to Scott Stantis, 3 o'clock, get his perspective as a part of what we're doing with the Triple Dipper. And then at 3:30, one of my favorite times, in fact, let me just clarify, my favorite time every single week, Boomer and McQueen. So that's coming on at 3:30. You guys got your game face on? You ready for that?
Oh, well, we're ready. I'm ready for this.
And McQueen will be in studio this time.
She'll be in studio.
Yeah, you actually allowed her to travel last week.
I did.
What a misogynistic thing for Phil to say. He said he allowed her to travel.
I said, yeah, of course, that'd be a great idea. Have fun.
All the points.
All the points
for you. All right, Scott Stantis, 3 o'clock, Boomer McQueen, 3:30, and then there's this whole Triple Dipper thing, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. So number one, right out the gate, local leaders is what I'm calling it, local leaders. Because, you know, we talk all the time about what's happening with the presidential race. Who's running for the U.S. Senate? What are they doing over here in that major national race? You ever stopped and thought about what a difference mayors make? I know I've done this before, but we're going to hit it again because there's some new stuff out there. Mayors, and even some of those right here in Alabama, some of the crime statistics in our state are dragged down by, I don't know, Birmingham. Liberal leadership makes a big difference, even in a red state. So we're going to talk about it. Local leaders, number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, Transamerica, and I am not talking about the insurance company. Transamerica. Have you seen the fact that apparently this Dylan Mulvaney is getting all kinds? I mean, like, he's all the rage right now, which is crazy to me because this is like a freak show. And I don't mean like, even if he wasn't trying to pretend that he's a girl, his behavior is so beyond the pale. Why would anyone want him to be their spokesperson? Anyway, Transamerica has got any number of stories about states that are pushing back and those that aren't. Y'all stay tuned for Transamerica, number two in the Triple Dipper. And then number three, opinions that matter. So there are a few out there that write op-eds once in a while that I just trust. I know when I go read their stuff that I'm probably going to be okay with it. At the very least, I'm going to, you know, agree, but I might even gain from it. And so I'm going to go through several of those today. My whole point in doing this, though, is you've got to find those places, those sources, those writers, those pundits that you trust. You can't trust all of them, but some of them, they stand out to you. And I've got a few opinions that matter. That's number three on the Triple Dipper. But let me jump over here to my comments. And I will say that what I'm about to tell you is a true story. It's a true story as related by real people about amazing things during crazy times. So I got your attention now, don't I? This is a story, by the way, of finding something that shouldn't have been there, and no one even knows how it got there, but it was exactly what was needed at the time. It's a story of what was referred to still to this day as the Miracle Well in the desert during the onset of the first Gulf War, otherwise known as Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Now, the events of this story occurred just over 31 years ago. The man who tells the story best is an Alabamian, a former commandant of the Marine Corps, a former president of Birmingham Southern College. We're talking about retired four-star general Charles Krulak. Krulak's story became known soon after Desert Storm and was published far and wide. Now, I'm going to relate it like I've seen it written up in a couple of sources, one of which was the Tampa Bay Times. You see, in war, logistics are everything. You can have the toughest warfighters, the finest strategies, the best weapons, but if you cannot get beans and bullets to the front lines, it's all for naught. Well, one of those major logistical nightmares in desert warfare is water. The average man can go for weeks without food, but can only go for a few days without water. But combat trains also need to bring in water for things like cooking and cleaning and decontaminating and servicing vehicles. And, well, water is key to life in many ways. And going into Desert Storm, General Krulak's job was to secure water in sufficient amounts to win that war, and it was not going well, not at all. Krulak relates that he initially had wells sufficient to meet the need of 100,000 gallons per day. That was the estimate they needed, 100,000 gallons of water a day. But as the Iraqi forces began to array themselves in places that were not planned for, General Schwarzkopf had to revise his strategy, and Krulak had to find new wells in a huge flat area 74 miles away, referred to as the Gravel Plains. There was no water at the Gravel Plains. He says for 14 days that he had engineers digging desperately to find water. They went to the Saudi government, asked them if they knew of any water in this area. Their answer was no. They brought in the exiled Kuwaiti government to the command post, pored over the maps, and asked them, do you know if there's any water in this area? They said no. They even went to Bedouin tribes and nomads, the people who lived out there. They said, do you know where there's water on the Gravel Plain? And they said, no, there's no water there. He said they kept digging wells hundreds of feet deep to no avail. Krulak relates that he had exhausted all resources except one. And it's that one that he turns to every single morning. Since 1977, it says that Krulak had made a habit of praying with any staff members who wanted to join him at 7:15 a.m. He said, I was on my knees every day praying for water. So on one Sunday morning, with only a few days remaining before the ground attack, a colonel interrupted his morning prayer with a request for Krulak to please accompany him. When Krulak asked what it was for that the officer wanted him to see, the colonel said, I don't want to tell you, sir. I want to show you. As the two traveled down a road that had been built by the Marine Corps, they came upon a sight that could have been lifted right out of a script from the Twilight Zone, because they saw what looked like a pipe just rising up out of the ground. And as they came up on it, it was almost in the shape of a cross at the top. A crossbar went straight across the middle of that big pipe, and what they saw next left the general and the colonel incredulous. A brightly painted red pump at the base of the pipe, a green diesel generator, four new batteries still wrapped in plastic, and 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel stored in a tank above ground. Now, keep in mind, Krulak related, that his troops didn't even have diesel fuel because everything they used ran on gas and jet fuel, but yet there was a brand new, fully installed pump with a brand new generator and a brand new tank filled with 1,000 gallons of diesel, and no one knows how it got there. Where did that pipe even come from? Krulak says he actually walked up, looked at it, and pushed the start button, and the new German-made generator just turned over and water started flowing. He said that well flowed to within about 10 gallons of the 100,000 a day that they needed for the assault. Krulak cannot even recall how many times he had traveled down the road that ran right by that pipe, and he was not the only one. A division of men, 20,000 troops, had traveled that road, and there was no way, he says, anyone could have driven down that road and not seen that well and that equipment painted in multiple colors, all fresh and sitting right out there. No one knows where it came from. Said Krulak, who firmly believes the well appeared in an answer to a prayer. He said every bit of that well was brand new, freshly painted, as if it had just been put there overnight, but no one, even to this day, no one knows who built it. No one can say how it got there. It was just there. It was just there at just the right place, at the right time, in the right amount, And some have speculated, oh, maybe they just missed it before. Well, yeah, right. But you heard the general's own words. They were looking. They were asking. They were checking with people who make a living knowing where wells are. Within days, the sands of the desert had begun to kind of wear the paint off that fresh pump, which clearly indicated that it could not have been there very long. Colonel John Woodhead, who was Krulak's chief of staff during Desert Storm, said he supports Krulak's interpretation of the events. In his words, he said, even if the well had already been there, its discovery came at exactly the right time. Well, so one either has to accept the blind roll of the dice or believe that things happen for a reason. Well, General Charles Krulak retired. He still lives in Birmingham, I understand. He's a man of faith, a man of great service. He's also a man, though, that can point to a spot on the ground and say unequivocally that he had no other explanation for something except that God just showed up and made it happen. I've had those times in my life. Maybe you have as well. Times when I was in a rough spot, having no idea how or where or when things would turn around. Times when I've literally prayed for what some would call streams in the desert. It's easy to get into a moment and forget the times when things work out in the past. I'm guilty of it. I can lose sleep over something right now, even though I've seen worse in the past, and watched as God stepped in and just met that need at that right time in that right place at the right amount. How is it we can see a miracle one day, and the next day we pretend as if miracles never happen? Well, it's Easter week. Tomorrow's Good Friday. So if you've seen a miracle at any time in your life before, I just challenge you, call it up in your memory and rehash the details and tell somebody the story. Because sometimes there's streams in the desert and it makes no sense except to say, God just showed up and did that. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, yeah, true story. Major General Charles Krulak, it's spelled K-R-U-L-A-K. I guarantee you, go ahead and just Google it. Just Google Miracle Well Desert Storm Krulak. You'll find it. He still gives speeches about it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. So you had never heard that story, Boomer, the miracle well?
No, I never have heard it, but it was amazing.
I got there's several texts have come in saying, you know, similar things. JT from Lacey Springs just texted in and said, well, if my texture will come up. Yeah, there it is. He just came in. He says, one word for that monologue, speechless. I just said, true that. Ken from Athens, he texted in and said, I'm a well driller. I've hit water where it shouldn't have been, and I've had dry wells next to a river. God provides what we need when we need it to glorify him the most. And I just said, There it is. Let's see what else I got in here. Nope, not that one, not that one. There's a couple of folks just saying, you know, hey, love the show. And folks, we appreciate that very much. We also got a new texter. Who was our new guy? Wayne from Southside's brand new in the texting. Yeah, glad to have you, Wayne. And then where is it? Sam from Priceville. Oh, my texture is dragging today. Here it is. Sam from Priceville just texted in and sent a link or a screenshot of, the top 10 safest cities in Alabama thus far for 2023. He's from Priceville. He was proud of the fact that Priceville is number 5. So you got Warrior. This is in order. Warrior, Kimberly, Southside, Hamilton, Priceville, Fairhope, Dothan, Rainesville, Glencoe, and Margaret. I am not familiar with Margaret, Alabama. Are you?
I am not.
I thought that I was sort of like James Spann, and I knew where all these little cities were, but I apparently am not. I need to find out where Margaret, Alabama is. Anyway, yeah. Hey, thanks, Sam. Appreciate you sending that in. But yeah, going back to that whole scenario of the well in the desert. So I mean, I can, and a well can change people's lives too, by the way. In Afghanistan, we would commission the digging of wells for former Taliban villages, trying to sort of bring new life there. And just, you talk about changing people's day to day. Suddenly they have water. I mean, first of all, you look at it and go, why do you live here? There is no water. How'd you build the village here? Some will say, though, that the water just dried up. I had one older Afghan man, and I'll never forget this. He truly believed that the Americans had brought a new day, and we had. But he looked at me and he said, for 7 years the Taliban ruled Afghanistan, and it did not rain. And the Americans came, and it rained. Mm. That's just like, wow. I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to say, well, yes, sir, and bless the Lord. But yeah. So, all right. So, listen, I guess my whole point in that is just be mindful of the fact that, and I have to remind myself of this. I was talking to Charlene about it this morning. I have to remind myself of this. God can just show up at the last second, and it all makes sense. Don't forget he's done that in the past. And so as we're heading into the Easter weekend, I just want to encourage you, just be mindful of the fact that God just shows up, and he usually has a perfect timing that we could not have foreseen because the self wants it done yesterday. And his perfect timing usually winds up showing self that self really didn't have a good plan. So anyway, there's that. Boomer, did you ever get our bracket winners?
The bracket winners have yet to respond.
Come on. Except for Ellis. We got Ellis's stuff.
Ellis's are, yep, shipped out, I believe.
Which, by the way, we forgot to mention the number one winner has more than just the T-shirt and the mug and all that. There's a cool set of coasters.
Yep. Yeah. The coasters.
And they're the real deal.
They are the real deal. They're pretty cool.
These are laser etched into slate right side logo coasters. I mean, they're the awesome. Winner of this bracket is just getting like swag city.
Swag. Come on. Just all they got to do is respond.
Yeah. Come on, bracket winners.
So we got
winners.
Mason Dillinger. Dillinger. Ah, yeah. Oh, I did it again. Mason Dillinger and Michael. Are the number one and the number two.
Who was it? Was it Brian today called in and said, I want to identify as Mason Dillinger?
Yes, it was.
No, it doesn't work that way. You can't. Well, I know I don't because I ended up like 76th or something on the list. It was ridiculous. And how far down was McQueen when it was over with?
I think she was either 10 or 11 is where she ended up at. Yeah.
Dang. Does she even watch basketball?
No, she does not.
I mean, I don't watch basketball a lot, and my scores reflected it. She watches it not at all and would almost won.
Exactly. I don't know.
Oh, God. All right, listen, we got some good stuff laid on for you. I'm going to come right back. We're going to switch into number one of the Triple Dipper. We're going to cover down on, you know, why it's so important to actually have local leadership that matches what you say you want in D.C. I mean, Why are we worried about what our congressman is going to do if we're not even worried yet about what our local school boards, city councils, and mayors do and say? Because if we've learned anything in the last few years, it's apparently that mayors had more control than we ever dreamed. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.